Welcome to Nightlife, the podcast.
If you've ever travelled to Southeast Asia or Africa, one of the first recommendations on the Smart Traveller website is to make sure you have your shots up to date. Why? Well, because of these. Oh, got it. Pesky mosquitoes. We swat them away during the summer, but of course they can carry all sorts of bloodborne illnesses, malaria, dengue fever, Zika virus. But these deadly mosquitoes aren't just found in faraway places. They are here in Australia too. And science has come a long way since, well, mosquito nets. Genetically modifying mosquitoes is one of the many ways that scientists here and around the world are trying to fight the spread of these diseases. There was even an initiative by a biotech company to use genetically modified mosquitoes in far north Queensland, although that was recently shelved. To talk more about this and generally about the old Mozzie, Associate Professor Cameron Webb from University of Sydney and New South Wales Health Pathology joins me. G'day, Cameron.
Bern, great to be with you.
My first question has nothing to do with bloodborne illnesses. It's on behalf of my teenage niece who on Christmas Eve was honestly, I couldn't believe how many mosquito bites she got, Cameron. While the rest of us seemed to be untouched, she was just eaten alive. So before we get into eradicating them and their diseases, why do we even have them? Like, why are they here and why are they important in the Australian ecosystem?
I think that's a question everybody asks during the Australian summer as we're getting chased around the backyard by mosquitoes. Look, scientists are really great at working out how to kill mosquitoes and why mosquitoes play a role in outbreaks of disease, but we haven't really been very good at working out how important they are to the local environment. We do know that mosquitoes are great food for birds, bats, fish and frogs and spiders, but we haven't found an animal on the planet that is completely reliant on mosquitoes. But we do know they also help pollinate plants. But again, we haven't found a plant that is completely reliant on mosquitoes. And so while mosquitoes are sure to play a role in our local ecosystem, we haven't really worked out exactly what that is and exactly how important that is. So there are still questions to answer when you're doing mosquito research.
Okay. Look, I know when we hear this phrase genetically modified or genetic modification, genetically engineered, it can be a bit nerve-wracking. You know, are we messing with nature? Is it something to be concerned about when it comes to mozzies?
I guess when it comes to mosquitoes, we are messing with nature in a way, because what science can do is as we learn more about mosquitoes' behavior and the genetic underpinnings of that behavior, it opens opportunities to sort of find the weakness in mosquitoes' armor, and we can do a better job of controlling them or possibly even eradicating them in some instances. And so in the same way that we've changed the types of insecticides that we would use to control mosquitoes, we're now using genetic modification as a consideration. And this is one of many sort of high-tech approaches that scientists are thinking about. And I think even though it sounds like something we should be worried about, in some ways, if we can really be specific in the types of mosquitoes that we target and the mosquitoes that are most likely going to be spreading the pathogens that make us sick, maybe that's actually better for the environment than relying on the broad-scale use of insecticides, which we know can kill a lot of other insects, not just mosquitoes.
Yeah, well, we only last month, as I understand it, an initiative by a biotech company in Australia, and it didn't end up going ahead, and this was going to be fighting dengue fever in far north Queensland using genetically modified mosquitoes. What was the genetic modification technology they were thinking of using?
So it's been a common practice in the past in controlling insect pests where you release sterile insects, particularly the male insects, that then mate with females and the offspring are not really viable. And this is sort of a variation on this that the company Oxitec was proposing and have used in other parts of the world, where you release genetically modified mosquitoes and when they mate with the females that are buzzing around out in the environment, their offspring either can't survive or would die. And so you're essentially using these mosquitoes against other mosquitoes in much the same way that you would use an insecticide. And so by rearing up these mosquitoes in the laboratory and releasing them, The objective here is to reduce the overall abundance and activity of mosquitoes that are flying around. And with fewer of mosquitoes flying around, you've got less chance of outbreaks of mosquito-borne disease, particularly things like dengue.
Yeah, so it was simply to reduce populations. It wasn't actually going to necessarily kill the females, but as I understand it, targeting females is a good idea, because what is it that the female mozzie is so good at?
Yeah, so approaches particularly that reduce the female population abundance in the local area is really important, because female mosquitoes are the most important when it comes to spreading the pathogens that make us sick, because it's only female mosquitoes that bite, because they need that protein hit in the blood to help develop their eggs. And so while we are interested actually in reducing the abundance of both male and female mosquitoes, if we can reduce the activity of female mosquitoes in the local area, that will greatly reduce the chances of a mosquito biting us and passing on those pathogens, things like dengue, that can make us sick.
So only female mosquitoes bite? I don't think I've ever known that. I just assume that sometimes when they land and don't bite, they just weren't in the mood or something.
Well, the male mosquitoes can live quite happily on plant juices and sugars, and really their main role is to mate with the females, and the males don't live very long. But the female mosquitoes can live for up to 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. But during that time, they can bite lots of people as well as lots of animals, and can lay anywhere up to about 1,000 eggs. And so the females can be pretty active. But it's a great evolutionary trait for the mosquitoes to, unlike a lot of other insects that do rely on those plant juices and sugars, if you can tap into that really nutrient-rich source of blood from warm-blooded animals, well, that means you can lay more eggs and be much more prolific and assure that next generation of mozzies are still continuing to buzz about.
You're hearing from Associate Professor Cameron Webb. He's a mosquito expert based at the University of Sydney. We heard how this genetically modified mosquito that they were going to use in Far North Queensland, that project has been paused while they get more information as to what the impact would be of these, GM mozzies. So what other types of science or technology could be used if that's not the answer at the moment?
Yeah, I think the way we genetically modify mosquitoes and release them to mate with the wild mosquitoes, and either that then results in the death of the mosquitoes after that mating, or perhaps their offspring don't survive, all of these types of approaches are being considered and researched in the labs, because as soon as you can find part of the mosquito's behavior that you can alter in some way, maybe it's to stop it biting people, maybe it's to stop it being able to transmit the pathogens, maybe it disrupts their life cycle in some other way, all of those factors might help contribute to a reduction in human disease. A lot of those approaches are about changing the population abundance of mosquitoes as well, and that's generally been the focus of some of the genetically modified mosquitoes, but there are other approaches as well. The World Mosquito Program is one in which they're introducing an intracellular bacteria into mosquitoes, and that's has been a very successful approach, because you can introduce that bacteria into the mosquito, release them into the environment. Those mosquitoes then mate with the wild mosquitoes, and you're not really changing the activity and abundance of mosquitoes, but you're changing their ability to transmit these pathogens that make them sick. It's almost like vaccinating the wild population of mosquitoes. And so you don't notice a difference in the amount of mosquitoes that are buzzing about, but those mozzies that aren't capable of transmitting those viruses. And that's been successfully rolled out both here in Australia, but in many other parts of the world, where you're seeing this pathogen spread throughout the wild populations of these mosquitoes. And hand in hand with that is a reduction in the number of human cases of disease that we see.
Yeah. So what is that bacteria? Can you tell me about that again?
So Wolbachia is an intracellular bacteria that is found in a lot of different insects. And so the scientists, a lot of that work done here in Australia initially, has demonstrated that you can introduce that into mosquitoes, particularly Aedes aegypti, the yellow fever mosquito, which is responsible for some of the most significant outbreaks of dengue around the world. And that bacteria can be introduced into the mosquito, and then it's passed on in the mating processes when those laboratory-reared mosquitoes are released into the wild. And so you're changing the mix and the ability of those mosquitoes that are flying around the environment and really stopping them being able to transmit those viruses that make us sick. And in that project, the focus primarily is on dengue, but is also been successful for other mosquito-borne pathogens as well.
Well, speaking of transmitting, like, how do they get from place to place? For instance, as I understand it, the Aedes aegypti, that's the dengue fever virus. Is that right? The one that carries dengue fever?
Yeah, one of the viruses.
One of the viruses.
It certainly transmits that.
So that's not an Aussie mozzie, so to speak. How did it get here and how do they get around the world?
So unfortunately, for mosquitoes like Aedes aegypti and some of the other mosquitoes internationally that spread pathogens like dengue, Zika and chikungunya virus, is humans give them a bit of a helping hand there. And so for these mosquitoes that live close to human habitation, so Aedes aegypti is a mosquito that loves biting people, but it also loves living where people live. They lay its eggs in water-holding containers, so things like your bird baths, potted plants, saucers, and plastic containers around the backyard. And unfortunately, as humans move their belongings around the world and we're rapidly moving both people and freight from country to country, these mosquitoes are hitching a ride and finding new places to arrive in. And that's one of the reasons we're seeing some of these mosquitoes turning up in Europe and bringing a risk of some of these mosquito-borne diseases. And even here in Australia, even though Aedes aegypti is only found currently in central and far north Queensland, we're certainly worried about it coming into some of the major cities in the southern and temperate regions of Australia. So I'm based in Sydney. I would really prefer not to have a mosquito like Aedes aegypti buzzing around the suburbs of Sydney or maybe even Melbourne or Perth, where that would then bring a risk of outbreaks of dengue.
And the reason why they haven't been there in the past, is that to do with the elements, so to speak, you know, that it gets really cold, you know, in Sydney compared to, say, far north Queensland. So is that what stops them? And hence,
mostly,
are you discussing climate change? Or, like, what are you worried about in terms of these popping up in other parts of Australia?
Mostly the climate has kept these mosquitoes out of our major cities because it gets too cold in the winter. But we know that the climate is changing, but also humans are changing the environment as well. And so the ways in which we store and recycle water in our cities, we're trying to green our cities to mitigate some of the impacts of increasing temperatures. And to have our cities green, we need a lot of water, water recycling and water storage. And so things like the proliferation of rainwater tanks and water-sensitive urban design, all of these elements might enhance the local environment for these mosquitoes. So as our winters get a little bit milder, maybe they're not getting quite cold enough to stop the establishment of some of these mosquitoes, whether it be Aedes aegypti, other mosquitoes like the Asian tiger mosquito, Aedes albopictus, but other species as well. And I think that while it's important to focus on the way the climate is changing and how that might mean that our cities in Australia are more susceptible to these mosquitoes, we also have to think about the way humans change our cities in response to climate change. And unfortunately, mosquitoes have been around for millions of years and they'll be quick to adapt to the way we change our cities.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we have talked a lot about eradication and, you know, killing mosquitoes as we all do and we slap them dead with the blood on our arms if necessary, if they're blood-sucking kinds. So can we finish, Cameron, since you must kind of love mosquitoes to be a mosquito expert. What's your fun fact when everyone is, you know, reaching for the AeroGuard or whatever it might be around the barbecue? What's your fun fact that you share about mosquitoes?
Well, I'm not trying to be an apologist for mosquitoes, so it's completely okay that everybody hates mosquitoes during the summer, but I do begrudgingly respect their ability to adapt to strange environments. And I think one of the habits, particularly for Aedes aegypti, that they do, which I think is fascinating, is that the male and female mosquito kind of sing together before mating. And so in a phenomenon known as harmonic convergence, the wing beat frequencies of the male and female mosquito kind of come together in harmonies before they mate. And it sounds incredibly romantic, even though the mosquito is responsible for some horrible burden of disease around the world, at least with that aspect of their biology. Maybe that's something we could be a little bit fascinated by and sympathetic about.
Harmonic convergence. Did you say that's their wings that are singing or they are singing?
It's their wing beat frequency. So that whine of the mosquito that you hear at night, which is buzzing in your ear, that's created by the high frequency kind of movement of the mosquito's wings. And all different mosquito species can tend to produce sounds in different frequencies. And not all mosquitoes do this, but for Aedes aegypti, the male and the female can kind of bring their wing beat frequencies into harmony before mating, which it sounds incredibly romantic, doesn't it?
It's, well, you know, I've got a little soft spot for the mozzies just before I kill them. Slap, and they're done. Cameron, we're lovely to have you on Nightlife, Associate Professor and Mosquito Expert at University of Sydney and a New South Wales Health Pathology. Thank you so much.
Don, great to be with you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.